Liberty Memorial Part 1. The idea, the choices, and funding. Now, this is a series of podcasts about the World War I Museum here in Kansas City, which is called the Liberty Memorial, which is now the national World War I museum in the United States. And so they're going to break it up into different pieces. Now, the idea of building a memorial, you know, is not unusual throughout the United States. For example, usually after various wars, if you have a lot of participants from your community, there are usually monuments created to them. For example, here in Kansas City, we have a small version of the Vietnam War Memorial that has the people in Kansas City who were killed. If you're in Europe, every town has, I know pretty much every town in France has a monument to the people who fought in from that particular village or whatever. So it's not uncommon to have war memorials, whether it's the American Civil War or the Spanish-American War or whatever. And so to some extent, what started out in Kansas City as a local memorial, because, you know, there's 441 people from the Kansas City area who were killed in World War I. That's out of 116,516 deaths. So from here in Kansas City, we have 0.03% of the killed of World War I. And yet we have this gigantic facility. Okay? It's just really unusual. Now, the idea to do a monument of some sort first is found in an editorial written in the Kansas City Journal on November the 9th, 1918. And what it does is it calls for the city to build a memorial. Now, there's been discussion about, well, the building was, you know, made so large because so many people went through Kansas City to World War I. Kansas City is a major rail hub. And so most of the people probably traveling from the west to the east coast to be shipped overseas went through Kansas City and or Chicago and probably Memphis and a few other places. But there were a lot of people went through Union Station. So there was always that probably in the back of the mind that you could do this as a commemoration for everybody. But initially, it is really just supposed to represent the sacrifice of the people here in town. Over the years, it's grown to that size because of other influences that come into play. On November the 29th, this is probably the fastest that Kansas City has ever moved on anything. On November the 29th, 1918, the city council decided to hold a public meeting on the subject. Now, in the morning before that meeting, same date, November the 29th, 1918, the Kansas City Star had a morning editorial which spoke about the enthusiasm in Kansas City about the idea of building some sort of monument that would be worthy of commemorating these people's sacrifices. Well, at the meeting, which was widely attended and represented almost the entire cream of the crop of Kansas City as well, the meeting caused the creation of what is called the Committee of 40, which are some of the top political, financial movers and shakers in the city. And, I mean, the meeting on the 29th to say, well, do we want to build a memorial? Overwhelmingly, people wanted some sort of monument here. Now to figure out how to do that. And just a few of the people that were at this meeting, J.C. Nichols, the noted real estate person. Of course, today, anybody who lives in the has come to Kansas City knows the Plaza area, which is a J.C. Nichols construction. W.T. Kemper, who Kemper Arena is named after. C.W. Armour, Mayor Cowgill, Robert Lang, William Volker, the Luce family. I mean, names that you associate with streets, boulevards, buildings. These people, the wealthy in the community, the movers and the shakers of the political world, were involved on this. They met again on December the 20th, 1918, at the Old Muehlbach Hotel, and the group changed its name from the Committee of 40 to the Liberty Memorial Association. And Robert Long, the construction lumber magnate, was the chairman, and then J.C. Nichols was made vice chairman or vice president. And then what they began to play with is, what kind of ideas, what do you build? And so they began researching all sorts of commemorations. Of course, they looked at the Arc de Triomphe. They looked at the Place de la Concorde. They looked at other places in Europe and in any country that had some sort of a memorial to serve as an example. Now, then we have, later on in March of 1919, there's a visiting architect in town. His name is H. Van Buren McGonigal. And he is then checking into this, and he makes an interesting recommendation. He recommended what they should do is act immediately, to build something immediately rather than waiting for elaborate plans that might include a civic center or a university, because you want to capture the enthusiasm of the people for the project now and not later. Of course, he's going to end up with the winning design when it's all over and done with, because I'm sure he didn't know that at the time. On April the 3rd, 1919, the Liberty Memorial Association voted on seven different plans. Now, the seven plans on the ballot go like this. The first one, a monument, which may include shaft, arch, or statuary group. The particular design to be worked out by the Committee of 25 subcommittee, with the architect and design selected, to be reported back to the committee before final adoption. Okay. Number two, monument plus a building, not for utilitarian purposes, but to house trophies of war with other matters closely related thereto. The particular design, again, this goes through the same thing. Each one of them will have the same part. Committee of 25 and the architect, and then final approval. Number three, monumental building without shaft, not for utilitarian purposes, but to house trophies of war and other matters closely related to. Okay, so you're going to have a building without a tower. Number four, a memorial building with shaft or other monumental feature for utilitarian purposes, and which may include the idea of an auditorium, an orchestra hall, an art gallery, public forum, community house, with opportunity for sculpture and painting, and may be a repository for war trophies and records. Number five, a memorial building without shaft or other monumental feature for utilitarian purposes, and which may include the idea of an auditorium, orchestra hall, art gallery, public forum, community house, with the opportunity for sculpture, painting, and maybe a repository for war trophies. So you're just going to build like an auditorium and dedicate it, like Memorial Hall. Number six, a memorial university plus a monument, particular design to be worked out. So you're going to have like a college with a monument. And then number seven, memorial university without monument. The winner's number two. Monument plus a building, not for utilitarian purposes, but to house trophies of war and other items closely related thereto. And it was almost unanimous in the selection. Now, after they'd picked that, there had been some previous discussion about, you know, what is all this going to cost? And you go back to February in 1919, one of the subcommittees in the group did a study, and they estimated that it would cost about $2 million, which is a huge sum of money in 1918-1919 to come up with. And we're not talking about, oh, well, let's go to the federal government and get a grant. Let's go to the state and get a grant. No, 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 that stuff doesn't exist. If you want something done, it comes out of your pocket. You know, that's where it's going to go. The people of Kansas City are going to go for it. Now, here in Kansas City, we have tried to do projects with Kansas. We had it at one time at what's called a bi-state tax to help some different the sports complexes and some other stuff. There was some discussion of that, but it was determined that we wanted to just keep it in-house. So the group then decided that they will run a $2.5 million fundraising campaign. $2 million to go for the construction of the memorial, and $500,000 to go to allied charities and relief organizations in Europe. The plan was that from October the 27th till November the 5th, 1919, there would be a door-to-door campaign to sell subscriptions to the project. In other words, to ask people to donate. Now, here's the way they classified how you paid it. If you pledged less than a dollar in cash, then you were supposed to pay for it at that particular point. If you pledged a dollar but less than $25, they wanted you to pay 10% immediately, and then you would pay 10% a month until it was completed. If you spent $25 or more, you were allowed to divide that into 9 payments over 3 years and 8 months. And if you wanted to donate more, you could do it another way. They would accept Liberty Bonds, which were the bonds you purchased for, like, war bonds. They would accept those. You could sign them over to the group for construction. They would take them for, if it was $50, if the bond's value was $50 or $100, they would take what its value was at the time. And if it was over $100, they would take the market value that it was working at. So that's how they broke the subscription part up. And then on October the 25th, 2 days before the collection campaign began, they had a warm-up victory parade. I mean, the place was just hopping. And then on the 27th, by noon on the 27th, they had collected $362,913. They'd gotten 15% of the money in just a few hours before noon. Within 3 days, they had $1,229,410. And then you end up with, on November the 6th, they ran it a little long. On November the 6th, they end up with, the next morning, the day after the campaign, $2,517,000. A lot of the very powerful people, for example, Mr. Long's Lumber Company, the Long Bell Lumber Company donated $80,000. There were lots of $40,000 gifts. These are huge sums of money at this time. But to break it down, the Kansas City's population at the time is estimated at 325,000. They had 83,000 people donate money to this campaign and collected this in a 2-week period of time. And it's just absolutely astounding that they put that into place. And then, of course, they bring the architects in and they start. So the construction's going to, it will not be completed until the 1920s. But I wanted to do a little something on this initial beginning of the fundraising and the enthusiasm. There later on will be a school children's fundraiser to collect pennies and nickels and whatever to buy General Pershing a special presentation sword, which they are successful in doing. I believe it's housed at West Point, if I'm not mistaken. So the next part of this that I will do will be the process of construction, and I'll eventually give you the whole history of the Liberty Memorial. And there'll also be some video podcasts where I'll take you on a tour of the museum as we see it today. As far as sources for this, there's a really good book on the history of the Liberty Memorial, which you can buy there at the museum. It's called Lest the Ages Forget by Donovan. It's one of the Kansas City Star books, so you can probably go to the Kansas City Star and buy it directly from them as well. It's in hardback. It's got lots of pictures. It's, you know, $30-some. It's a little expensive, but what isn't? It has lots of pictures in it. So I hope you enjoyed that. Don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, and thank you very much.